Welcome to Skies Revival Radio. Many have attended the Sky Family Revival concerts and have been greatly touched by the Holy Spirit. This program was created to keep that fire alive. Today is the day to wake up from all our worldly distractions to seek first the kingdom of God. Nothing will satisfy your soul like giving Jesus first place in your life. Nothing will restore our country except for those who are called by his name to start seeking the Lord with all their might. And this is revival, that we would seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. Join us today. Let revival begin with you.
Welcome again to Skies Revival Radio. This is Tom from the Sky Family. I'm so glad to be here with you today. I trust that you've been getting a lot out of our study of the Gospel of Matthew. Today, we're going to get right into the deep and address some areas which are so pertinent to us all. This is really getting at the heart of not only the Beatitudes, but the heart of our ministry and the Bible Institute is that we become entirely consecrated to Christ, that we become separated unto him, that we come out of the world and cleave to Jesus, that we would not touch the unclean thing, but that we would be made into entirely new creatures in Christ. This is the call that God has given to us all. This is the work of the Holy Spirit and the mission of every believer is that we would pursue the work of consecration, of being surrendered to God, of laying down the things of the world and doing the things which Jesus said. It is not those who hear his word who will be built on the rock. It is those who hear his word and do it that will be a house built on the rock. So today we're going to examine some things that are very, very, very core issues, and we're going to be very practical in the application. It's one thing to theoretically read the words of Jesus. It's another thing when we put them into real life and we see, what does this mean to us? How do we have to react? How do we have to act on his words? What do we have to do to come into compliance with what he said? So today, we're going to go back to Matthew chapter 5. As we go into the Beatitudes, we're going to cover, blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God. We're going to elaborate on this a little bit. And the way we're going to do this is to turn back to Isaiah 33, verses 14 through 17. And these verses are very instructive on how to become pure in heart so that we can see God. And these verses are very central to all of our work and all of our focus of what we are trying to do as a Bible school and as an evangelistic ministry. We are trying to draw people into a life that is set apart for Jesus. So this verse in Isaiah 33 goes like this. Who among us can live with the consuming fire? Who among us can live with the continual burning? He who walks righteously and speaks with sincerity, who rejects unjust gain, who shakes his hand so that they hold no bribe, and who stops his ears from hearing about bloodshed and shuts his eyes from looking upon evil, he will dwell on the heights. His refuge will be the impregnable rock. His bread will be given to him. His water will be sure. And your eyes will see the king in his beauty. Again, that's Isaiah 33, verses 14 through 17. This verse applies directly to this beatitude Blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God. As I said, this is one of the cornerstones of this ministry, and that is that we desire that we would become willfully innocent like little children. And I want to examine that statement a minute, which is that we would become willfully innocent. That is, if I could sum up our whole work in two words, it would be willfully innocent. Innocence is different than naivety. Being naive is that we don't know the difference between good and evil, and we might do what is right, but we don't understand the consequences of doing what is wrong. That's being naive. But being innocent, and particularly being willfully innocent, means that we have looked upon evil, we have engaged in evil, we don't like evil, and we are intentionally turning from evil to set our hearts on Jesus to become like little children again. This is the difference from naivety to being willfully innocent. And that's what we hope to accomplish, not only in our lives, but in the lives of many others around us. Jesus said that we couldn't even see the kingdom of heaven unless we became like little children. In this lesson, we are going to bring it into present day, into our lifestyle today, and we're going to address the chief stumbling block in our lives that keeps us from being pure in heart and from becoming like little children. The chief stumbling block for all of us is the media. And we, from reading these verses and others like them, have taken a strong stand. We decided to act on these verses where it says to close our ears from hearing about bloodshed and violence and shut our eyes from looking upon evil. It has made us take a strong stand, and at times very unpopular stand, regarding the input that goes through our eyes and ears. The corruption in our media today is very intense, and it's all against purity, it's against innocence, it's filled with violence, and it utterly destroys childlikeness, and it's abhorrent to the Spirit of God. Have you noticed, for the adults that are listening, have you noticed that there's no childlikeness in little kids anymore? It's because they're raised on a steady diet of perverse and dark and violent media, including the children's shows and the cartoons, which are filled with things contrary to the Spirit of God. And so the media has destroyed childlikeness in them, even from being toddlers. So it's very important for us to address that. Now, as we talk about these things, as we often do, some may say, oh, well, I only watch the news. Well, that means very little today, because the news now specializes in sensational violence. And I have seen more graphic violence in the news now than there used to be in the intense action movies of a decade ago. So it's not really good enough for us to say, oh, we only watch the news. And because it is so abhorrent to the Spirit of God, and because it has such a devastating effect on our spirits, this is why we've taken such an unbending stand on this matter of the media. And that is why we challenge people everywhere to take a commitment to put these things aside, to keep us from polluting our souls. Many Christians get upset when you mention a media fast. They say there's nothing wrong with watching hours of media each day. But if you look from God's eyes, you'll see that there is all type of corruption in it that is offensive to God. And it's all bent on destroying your innocence. It's all bent on destroying your soul. So you may say that there's nothing wrong with it, but it's your life that's in the balance. It's your soul that is hanging in the balance. The two main areas exploited by the media, of course, are sex and violence. These are the very areas mentioned in Isaiah 33. It says, "He who stops his ears from hearing about violence and shuts his eyes from looking upon evil will be blessed." Its meaning is clear. We have to take a step. We can't be passively hoping that we don't hear about violence or see evil. It's commanding us to stop our ears and to shut our eyes. We have a personal challenge called the Fellowship of the Unashamed Commitment, and it's about a media fast. It's about taking steps to stop our ears and shut our eyes. It's a commitment that we're not going to indulge in watching gratuitous violence for entertainment anymore, or looking upon the impurity that permeates the media. We're taking a stand for purity. We're taking positive steps to guard our hearts from ungodly input in the media so that our souls might become childlike again. We want to be able to enter the kingdom of God by becoming like a little child. And this is a great step toward doing that. As we take this commitment to turn off ungodly media and put it aside, amazing things begin to happen. Our heart begins to be purified. Our spiritual man goes through a kidney machine. Our blood starts to become purified as we shut our eyes from looking on evil and we turn these channels off. We may get railed at by people saying that we're fanatics or we're legalists, but we have come to the point of not caring what is said about us because this verse specifically tells us to shut our eyes from looking on evil. And how could that be more pertinent to us today when we have flooding into our own homes and into our ears and then into our hearts all type of wickedness and evil that would be unthinkable in generations past? And so this verse is telling us we must close our eyes to it. So people can say what they want. In the end, it will be God that we stand before and not them. Is this the only way? Well, I don't know, but it sure is the only way for us. And we have found it to be a very good way. We have found it to be the way to enter into the childlikeness that Jesus requires. As we take a stand that we are not going to defile ourselves anymore and that we're not going to defile our eyes and our ears anymore, we begin to enter into a purity of heart that is truly blessed. Now, what does it mean to stop our ears from hearing about violence and closing our eyes to looking on wickedness? Well, for us today, it means, simply put, that we click it off. That's how we shut our eyes today. We turn it off. We unplug it. We throw it out. We get rid of it. And what happens as a result of taking that step? It is honored by God to the heavens. God is pleased to find one child here and one there who is actually willing to do what Jesus taught them. And the reward is that they will see God. They will see the King in His beauty. They will begin to know Him and they will radiate His glory in them. Did you know it's very apparent who has taken a step like this? We can tell because they radiate with the light of Christ. It's very beautiful to see. Now, there are some today who wrangle over words and they would say, this is too extreme. It's no longer relevant because it's Old Testament. No, this is New Testament. Not only is blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God, the very teaching of Jesus, but if you turn to Philippians 4, you will find it is a restatement of Isaiah 33. Philippians 4 instructs us to set our mind on the things which are pure, to dwell on what is good and holy instead of the things of violence and bloodshed and perversion and swearing and fighting that we are continually immersed in today. You see, these are words that call for a change. Philippians chapter 4 isn't a suggestion, it's instruction that is imperative to follow. And you see how it affects us today. Can you imagine someone actually obeying Philippians 4 today? Can you imagine someone actually breaking free from the pollution of the media to set their minds on things that are good and pure and holy and approved by God? Can you imagine someone taking a stand like that? Well, it can be done. We're here to testify it can be done, and it's awesome. Do you want to be filled with the light of heaven? This is the way to do it. Stop the perverse media from entering your soul through your eyes and your ears. Did you know that whatever we take in through our eyes and our ears is what feeds our souls? We are such a contradictory generation. We are so aware of our bodies that what we eat is what we will become. We are so health conscious for our earthly well-being, but we will allow any type of garbage to enter and feed our souls. We'll eat bean sprouts for our body's sake, but feed our soul on any junk food that comes along. But great things happen when we take God at His word and begin doing it. Wonderful things happen when we begin to work at being pure in heart, when we stop our ears from violence and close our eyes to looking on evil. Then God gives us awesome promises. It says that our home where we dwell will be unassailable. That is, the devil will not be able to get to us. It reminds me of times during World War II when the Allies had bombers that could fly higher than the anti-aircraft batteries could reach. If we take these steps to cut off the flood of filth and violence going into our hearts and minds, this is what God will do for us. Then He also promises the provision of our daily needs. These are awesome rewards and well worth the step of shutting off and stopping the offensive things. That's why we emphasize this commitment to turn it off. We make a commitment for a year so that it is comprehensible to us. After about 3 months of detox from the violence and lust, we begin to excel in the things of God. At the same time, those worldly hindrances start to lose their grip on us. After a while, we begin to see how ugly those things are, and we're revolted by them. This is when we know that God is doing a great work in us. We have entered into becoming pure in heart. With each new day, as we fill our hearts with God's word instead of the corruption of the world, we begin to be purified and cleansed. We begin to feel a lot better. Why? Because in the world, we daily drink the equivalent of spiritual radiator fluid. And then we wonder why we feel awful. We wonder why we need antidepressants and drugs to try to get us through the day. Well, if we stop drinking spiritual radiator fluid, we might feel a little better. Whatever we take in through our entertainment, that is what our soul is eating and drinking. And our souls are sick. If we stop eating rat poison, we'll feel better, amazingly. We need to look at most, if not all, of our modern entertainment as rat poison. It kills us. Now, how is rat poison designed? Well, it's almost a perfect analogy. It is made to be enticing to a rat, to be overwhelmingly appealing. Then they bite it and they die. That's exactly how the devil kills us. He entices us to bite something that will kill us. As we get rid of it, life gets a lot happier and brighter. There is no way to overstate how damaging the media and our entertainment is to our souls. We might think that it's just entertainment, it's no big deal, but the entertainment that has come into our homes today is so devilish, and so many of our entertainers have openly declared allegiance to the devil. So many of our games are actually leading us into witchcraft and sorcery of all types. I'm not talking about anything new here. Anyone who's involved with these things knows that what I'm saying is true. And so we're not in the days of Leave It to Beaver and Father Knows Best. Our media is killing us. We need to look at it. We need to address it. We need to obey God. We need to do what He says. We need to set our mind on the things which are pure, fix our mind on the things above where Christ is seated at the right hand of the Father. Now, you might even agree with what I'm saying, but you might think that it's just being a little bit too extreme, that it'd be better to just kind of moderate things a little bit so we don't have to turn everything off. Well, in the past, as a family, we were among the strictest that I've ever heard of in regard to media restriction. And once a week, we would have family movie night, being very selective, family movies. But we found even the little we watched would preoccupy our thoughts the rest of the week. Instead of thinking about the things that we read in the Bible, we were thinking about the things we watched on movie night. And it began to take over. But then it only takes a short while to burn through all the good family movies there are. And then you begin to explore the next tier, and they're not quite so good, but there's some good parts. And then, of course, we burn through those, and then it's just like, oh, well, we just kind of get used to it a little bit at a time. And pretty soon we're watching things that God wishes we weren't. And it's having a tremendous impact on our souls. So we found that temperance didn't work, but abstinence did. And so that's what we recommend. We recommend a media fast. Just turn it off. And as I said, do it for a year. You can kind of wrap your head around that. It's not forever. But I'll tell you, by the time you go through a year of having a media fast and putting these things out of your life, you will be like us. You will not want to go back because you begin to drink of the fountain of life. You begin to enjoy the company of God. You begin to bathe in the river of life, and it is so delightful. There are no words to describe how wonderful it is to get out of the polluting influence of the world and get into the purifying presence of God. And so take these words literally. Take them seriously. Take Isaiah 33 seriously. Take Philippians chapter 4 seriously. Take the Sermon on the Mount seriously. Our goal is to become blameless, innocent children of God in the midst of a perverse generation. Let's go to God in prayer. Lord, we need to realize, and we do see, Lord, how we have polluted our garments with worldliness, with worldly entertainment, so that our thoughts are far from you most of the time. And we see how much in need of a cleaning we are. And Lord, we look to you to do a wonderful work in us, to make us brand new creatures in Christ, that our thoughts are fixed on the things above. We can't do it ourselves, Lord, but we ask you to cleanse us. We ask you to help us to obey. We ask you to help us to turn from the things that are poisoning us and turn to the pure word of God, that we might feast our souls on what is good. And Lord, make us to stand out in the darkness. Make us to stand out and be like a beacon and a lighthouse, Lord, as those who have been in the presence of God. Lord, as Moses had to have a veil in front of him because the light was so intense from being with God. So Lord, let our faces also shine with the glory of God. Help us to stop our ears from hearing about violence and to shut our eyes from looking upon evil. Help us, Lord, to turn away from gratuitous violence and all the perversion in our media, that we might feast on what is good. Lord, make us new creatures in Christ. Lord, make us to be blameless, innocent children of God in the midst of a perverse generation. In Jesus' name, I pray, hallelujah and amen. Be sure to visit skiesrevivalradio.com, where you'll find many encouraging resources, including the first book of our Revival Begins With You series. It's called Through the Narrow Gate, The Surprising Door into Radiant Life, and it's available in hard copy or download. You'll also find Celtic Revival music CD and other uplifting materials there. We look forward to getting together with you again next week.
These radio programs are aired weekly throughout Northeastern U.S. and Canada, as well as all across the country on our Sky Family mailing list and on internet radio. It is a faith ministry, and they are supported only by the Sky Family and a little group of concerned Christians who contribute to the radio ministry. If you have been helped or encouraged or edified in any way, would you consider joining that small group to keep these broadcasts going out? It takes a lot of money to produce these programs and to get them out to those who can hear and be encouraged to begin the exciting adventure of personal revival. Your joining with us in this ministry would be a real blessing to many people. Because we don't deduct any kind of administration fee, every dollar you send goes directly to getting the gospel out into this dark world. So even a small donation goes a long way. If you go online and type in Skies Revival Radio, our homepage will come up. Somewhere on the page will be a donate button. If you click on that, you will find a number of ways you can join us in this important work. Or call us at 508-887-1051. That's 508-887-1051. Or email us at tourmanager@theskies.org. If you can't afford anything, don't worry. You can still join our team by standing in the gap and praying with us week by week as the broadcasts go out. It takes a lot of money and a lot of prayer to have the gospel go forth through the media. Thanks so much for your help financially and in prayer. May God bless you.